You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall, psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. I hope you've had an absolutely fantastic week wherever you are in this planet of ours. I mean, the sun's shining hopefully where you are and you're enjoying life. And, you know, sometimes it's the simple things in life, isn't it, that bring the biggest smile to our face, you know, getting out of bed and feeling energized and ready to tackle the world, and the sun's shining and you've got wonderful people around you and the love of, you know, your family and your friends, and you sort of think, gee, it's great to be alive. Doesn't always mean that we've got to have a pocket full of money and be going somewhere special. Just to be in the moment, I think, is the really special thing. And I feel very blessed where I live in this amazing part of the world. It is called the Gold Coast, and it is very, very pretty and very beautiful, and we have beaches and restaurants and everything at our fingertips. But the most amazing thing about this place, I think, is just the scenery of being able to be. And I've been here a long time, and I've seen the place grow and change. And a lot of people say change and progress isn't good, and you know, sometimes I agree with them, but you know, the beauty of the place has not been lost. We still have the beaches on one side and the mountains on the other and everything in between, and it's just a little piece of paradise. So I hope wherever you live in this amazing planet of ours that you can call it your piece of paradise as well. So this week we're going to work with the Simply Tarot card of the week, which is called the Three of Pentacles. Now, look, the Three of Pentacles is one of those little ambiguous cards. People sort of look at it and say, oh, I don't know how to read this card. It is the delays around money, because you can see the pentacles in the top there, that represents the money, and they're coming in from the cold. So it's a time where they've been, you know, drudging through the snow. They've been trying to work out different areas of their lives, and, you know, that they feel that everything has been delayed around them, and it probably has been. But the most important thing to remember is that those delays will prove necessary. Sometimes we have delays in our lives that we don't quite understand at the time, but when we move further along, we find out the reasons why those delays were designed by fate. Had we gone into something too quickly, we may not have got the right result. We may not have ended up with as much money, or it could have ended up being more expensive than what it would have been. So it's a time to sort of take stock and sort of say, okay, all right, if there is a delay around, what could be the reason? Why am I in this predicament? Is there a reason for the delay? Is there a reason why there's been a delay in extra money coming in, or, you know, more importantly these days, money going out, you know, faster than what you can earn it? But sometimes we have expensive periods in our lives where the washing machine breaks down, so does the fridge and the microwave, and you think, what, all in one week? You know, you could have staggered it over a few months, but that's just life. You know, not everything is designed this day and age to sort of last or go the distance. And, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I expect everything to go forever, and when something breaks down, I'm not very happy. And, you know, this is just part of life. It's a throwaway society. So sometimes when we see this card coming out, I look at that and I think, well, okay, what could be causing the delays? Why am we needing to come in from the cold? And is it, you know, a spate of just sort of little things that collectively make up a big thing that make it expensive, that we can't get on top of our financial situation? So when you see this card come out in your reading, don't sort of panic. Just look for the positives to come out of it, that there's a reason why there's a delay. It's been designed by fate. And that way I think you can handle whatever it is a little bit easier, because you've got a better understanding that it's not necessarily your fault. So we're going to move on to the astrological section of the show now. I get lots of messages in my inbox every week where people say to me that they really look forward to this. If they miss the show live, they go back and they watch it on a replay on one of the very many various places that you can watch it around the world. And they've shared with me that it gives them some insight into how they're feeling. No matter what their star sign is, there's something in there for everyone. And it's not so much sort of, you know, know, picking up a newspaper as we used to once upon a time and looking for our daily horoscope. This is a prediction or a series of predictions that go for the 12 for the week ahead for the 12 signs. And what I do live before the show is I actually look at where the planets are placed in the solar system right at that second, about half an hour before we go to air. So it couldn't be any more up to the minute of precisely where the planets are, how they're going to be affecting us. And I like to sort of try and bring as broad a prospects as I possibly can for to help you understand why we might be feeling a particular energy and how, you know, we can best work with it. So it's happy birthday to all the Virgos. We're nearing sort of, you know, probably the halfway mark of the Virgo energy. Now, look, I'm one of these people that I like all the signs, yes, because I'm an astrologer, but I particularly like the Virgo time of the year because to me it's a time when we can slow down just marginally. We can stop, look and listen, look at our diet, look at our health, look at our hygiene. Is it the time to go and get a physical? Do I need to go to the dentist? What can I do to improve my health? Am I eating properly? Am I being conscious of what I'm putting in my mouth? And I think as we get older, we sometimes can get a little bit lackadaisy and sort of say, oh, look, whatever's the quickest thing in the kitchen will do. But we forget that even as we get older, we still need good nutrition to be able to help us to focus and to keep our bones strong and things like that. You know, yes, we probably have less of an appetite as you get older, but you still need to make sure that you're eating nutrient rich, dense foods, you know, as you do when you're younger. And it's sort of, it's important, I think, to listen to your body. And a lot of times people say to me at this time of the year, disregarding their star sign, that they're much more aware of what they're putting in their mouth, or they're much more aware of how a particular food might affect their body. You know, some people say, look, you know, I've never had hives in my life before and all of a sudden I'm getting hives. Then I realised I'd had an overabundance of tomatoes. You know, instead of having one or two a week, I was having them three times a day. So, you know, the body built up a resistance to it. So you've got to stop, look and listen to what's actually going on, because there's certainly is hidden messages there. And, you know, the Virgo energy is attention to detail, and it is about analysing things and analysing and analysing and analysing until sometimes there's nothing left to analyse, but we'll go back and start again anyway. Some of my dearest friends are Virgos. Yes, sometimes they can be a little bit annoying with their analytical skills, but usually I find it's for a reason. And if you have a particular problem that you need a spare set of eyes to go over it, something official or legal, Virgos are the best friends for that, because they don't miss anything. And, you know, many, many moons ago when I first started in astrology, I had the good pleasure of working with a couple of Virgos who taught me the importance of attention to detail and not overlooking anything, particularly when you're working with astrology and you're working with people's emotions. And, you know, their life is sort of in your hands when you're working on their chart or working on predictive stuff. And I'm really very blessed that I did get to work with those people very early in my career, because it set me up for rigid sort of good hard rules that I, you know, I'm meticulous with detail. I go over everything a few times before I talk about it or I speak with the client about it, and that's held me in good stead. And I think, you know, sometimes that's sort of maybe been something that people have sort of said, oh, she's just so pedantic, that, you know, you get a reading with Amanda and she's so direct and so straight to the point, but she's also very pedantic and there's a lot of attention to detail. And I thank my Virgo for it, fellow colleagues, for that. So we've got the sun in Virgo at the moment is making a sextile, which is known as a nice, easy aspect to Mars, the planet of action, sitting in Cancer. Now, when we're talking about a sextile, we're talking about somewhere in the range between 55 and 65 degrees. We're not talking about anything much past that. We've got to keep these really pleasurable aspects quite tight, because otherwise you lose the momentum of what it's about. So the sun's in Virgo, so it's sharing with us the attention to detail, focus on diet, health and hygiene, making a lovely aspect to Mars. Now, Mars doesn't always feel comfortable with anything connected to Virgo, so it's really interesting here with this sextile here where Mars is sitting in Cancer. So Mars is the planet of action. It's asking us to look at, particularly on the home front, things that affect the home, things that affect what we are emotionally connected to, particularly on the home front. Now, there may be, you know, a flurry of activity in the home where you're doing a bit of cleaning or something like that, jobs that you've been putting off for a while, you've decided to get the paintbrush out or the duster or whatever it may be. Or it may just be a flurry of activity where you've got a lot of family and friends coming to visit, you know, or having a barbecue or something like that. And you sort of think, oh, I've got to make sure that everything is meticulously right. And you're running around straightening the napkins and the knives and forks. And sort of, you know, when people arrive, they really didn't come to see the table decoration. Yes, they might say it looks lovely, but they've come to see the people. And I think that's the important thing, that I think sometimes we get so caught up in the attention to detail that we forget that the reasons why we're having a gathering of people or why people are coming together, it's not for whether you've got the best china in the world or the prettiest table setting, it's because of the people. And that's the important thing here, is make sure that the emphasis is on the people and the gathering of people or the connection with people. We also have Mercury, the planet of communication, is sitting in Virgo, nowhere near any sort of making any sort of conjunction or any aspect to the sun in Virgo. So it's standing alone. So Mercury here is asking us, each and every sign, all of the 12 signs, but particularly the earth signs, which are Virgo, Capricorn and Taurus, and the opposite sign of Pisces, if you have to sign anything official, legal, important, whatever, make sure that you fully understand what's being said. It's not retrograde. It's just asking you to have that attention to detail. This will wash over the remaining 12 signs too. If it's something important or legal or something like that, my suggestion is print it out and read it out loud. Sometimes when we read something on a screen, we don't necessarily pick up a slight mistake, or we don't quite often absorb what they're trying to say, or the tone in the way that it's written. I'm old school. I like to print it out. I like to read it out aloud. And that way, then I find that you pick up on something if it's not quite right. It's like, oh, hang on a minute. They've got the wrong word in there or the wrong figure or whatever. But if you're reading it off a screen, you quite often miss that. So it's important to sort of make sure, or get someone else to proofread it as well, or get somebody else to read it and make sure that you then have a conversation that you both fully understand what's in the document. But it is important stuff. It's not your grocery list. It's important stuff that you need to be aware of. We have Jupiter, the planet of opportunity and expansion, is sitting in Leo at the moment. Now, this is going to be particularly affecting the fire signs, which is Leo, Sagittarius and Aries, and the opposite sign is Aquarius. But this energy will wash over the remaining eight signs. Now, Jupiter's the planet of luck and opportunity, is conjunct or holding hands the moon. Now, bear in mind, the moon changes signs every 2.5 days. So this conjunction is going to be very fast. It's going to be like a speeding bullet. Now, the reasons why I'm talking about this is because I want you to understand, while Jupiter's here, it could exaggerate how your emotions are feeling. You could feel, you know, bold, and, you know, you can stand up to somebody and it's the time to go in there and put your case across with great gusto. And look, that's probably good. That's probably great. But make sure that you have your emotions in check, because with it conjunct the moon here, it can quite easily get out of control. You can quite easily start raising your voice or getting a bit overexcited and not getting your message across as clearly as what you'd like to, because you're bringing in the dramatic side of the Leo energy, you know, like, I'm the king of the jungle and I'm going to be heard, and, you know, you're going to listen to me because I said so. And they get emotional or get aggressive or get, you know, loud in the way that they're presenting something, and then you've lost that other person. And this is why I'm bringing it up. So it doesn't matter what your star sign is. If you've got an important conversation that you need to have, or changes you're trying to bring in your life, it's great, but make sure you keep those emotions in control and, you know, point out the positives, point out the things that are going to be beneficial to all parties concerned, or, you know, section it off. This group of people will gain more from this, and these ones over here will gain less. But, you know, try and keep it with a positive spin, because it's really important that we get these messages across, and the expansion and the opportunity that can come by good, clear communication and, you know, not letting our emotions run away with us. Now, Uranus, the planet of the unusual and unexpected. I quite often talk about Uranus. It's one of my favourite planets because it comes in and it clears things away. I love that idea. If you feel like you've been in a rut or you're stuck or whatever, and your Uranus comes along like the bolt of lightning and says, right, let's go. Where's your bag? What's the hurry? Uranus is sitting in Gemini at the moment. He's just about to go direct again. Now, what that means is he's been going retrograde for a while now, so the energy has sort of been a little bit hobbled. Well, he's standing stationary at the moment, getting ready to go direct. So we're going to start to see some action in the next few weeks, particularly for the air signs, which is Gemini, Libra, and the and Aquarius, and the opposite sign of Sagittarius. So anybody that's felt in those four signs that they've really been stuck or hobbled or can't make any sort of progress and it's like they're marking time, believe you me, things will start to move very, very, very quickly. And when they do, you won't have time to stop, think, look and listen. You're just going to have to go with the snap of the fingers and make some very intense, very quick decisions. Now, my suggestion here is go with your gut. Whatever feels right, whatever comes to your mind that feels right is the direction. Don't sit there and you won't have time to sit there and analyze. And if you do, you could probably talk yourself out of something that's quite amazing. This will wash over the remaining signs too, but it'll be a lot weaker there. It'll be sort of like, yeah, okay, an opportunity's come along, came out of nowhere, wasn't expecting it. Do I want it? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. So it's not quite as intense. It's not saying that anything that's offered to you or presented to you is bad. It's just sort of saying there's not the same sort of urgency there to deal with it this second or needed to be dealt with yesterday. So be aware of that. But it's a positive sort of, it's almost like a clearing. I look at Uranus as being a little bit like a storm. You know, we have the clouds come in, the lightning happens and the rain or the hail or the whatever. But after the storm, everything feels fresh and clean and as if we're raring to go again. Well, that's how I look at Uranus. You know, he comes in, he's like the storm, the bolt of lightning hits the ground, and then we've got the freshness left behind. So finally, I want to wrap up the astrology with Venus. Venus is the planet of love and affection. Now, there's not too many people around the world that don't want love in some form or another in their lives, and a lot of people are looking for love. Now, Venus is in its last days of being in Libra. Now, Venus rules with Libra, so it feels very, very comfortable here. So my suggestion, disregarding whatever your star sign is, if you're seeking love, make sure that you go and attend things or visit things that makes your heart sing. If you love art, then go to an art gallery. If you like music, go to a concert. If you like reading, go to a library. Go to places that make your heart sing, where that you've got the chance of potentially meeting somebody that has the same passions, the same interests as you. No point in going to the car races if you can't stand the smell of diesel and petrol and fumes and oil and people all dressed up in those suits and running around like lunatics to get the race on the road. Then there's no point in being there. Go to what your heart gives you, but make sure it's also a place too where you've got the potential of meeting the type of person that you want to. You know, if you're a lady looking for a guy, there's no point in going to a flower arranging class because there's not going to be too many guys there that are going to go to a flower arranging class. And if they do, they may be more interested in men than they are women. So make sure that you pick the places that you're going to go because that's of interest to you. And, you know, then you've got more chance then of meeting that love of your life and bringing someone really, really special into your life. So we're going to talk with Carla in Ranuka in Virginia. Are you there, Carla?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Do you have a question? I'm very well, thank you, sweetie. Do you have a question I can answer for you, Carla?
Well, I was just kind of hoping to connect with whatever you feel for me in the stars, clouds, moon.
Okay, all right. That's okay, Carla. I always ask because sometimes people have a particular issue or a question that they specifically want answered. The first thing that's coming up around you is it seems to have been taken a very, very long time for you to really get completion to some of the things that you've been working on. Is that how you're feeling, as if you've sort of run out of a bit of puff now? You just want some of these things to be sort of sorted so you can move forward?
Yes, that's exactly where I'm at right now. I'm in the middle of something I just wish would hurry up and just hurry up and find
along.
Some kind of completion. Yes.
Yeah, well, you're showing me it is going to, even though you feel it's stalled at the moment and it's like it's been going on forever. They're showing me towards the end of this month, we're going to start to feel the engine starting to rev up again and things starting to move forward. But I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think this could be well and truly sorted before the end of the year, because it's like they seem to be pushing things to get sorted before the end of the year, Carla, not just this but a couple of other things that are I'm not necessarily going to say smaller, but of less importance that have been, you know, you've been trying to get to a completion too, because they want you to sort of be free and ready for 2027, you know, because next year is going to be a year of action where we can start to bring some good things back to your life, you know, things that are going to put a smile on your face. The other thing that they were showing me, are you planning on moving, or is it just you're making changes with where you're living? Because I wasn't sure how to describe it.
I'm making changes because I'm planning on moving.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that's why they showed it to me in both those ways. Then. That's good. Okay. Now, to me, I want you to be very systematic with that. I want you to go room by room, you know, don't just look at the whole picture of what you've got to change. Let's do room by room. And then when you feel that you've completed that, whether you shut the door physically or not, or you do it in your mind, you can shut the door in your mind and say, right, that one's done. I'll move on to the next one. Because by doing that, I think you're going to put a more stable energy through what you're trying to achieve, so that when the time comes to put the house or the property on the market, you'll feel more than ready. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go back and do a checklist, because I did that as I progressively went along. You know, I did one room at a time and I triple checked everything. Yes, right, fine. I can shut that door in my mind and I can move on to the next one. So are we hoping for the change or the putting the property on the market by about March?
That's what I'm hoping for, but I'm not in any huge hurry. I'm saying next spring, but if it doesn't make it next spring, then I'll shoot for the next year. Again, I'm not in huge hurry. I just want to downsize. I'm by myself now, and I want to do a tiny house community.
Well, that sounds wonderful. No, they were showing me March, so I wasn't assuming that was March 28. I was assuming it was March 2027, and I felt when you do go to put the property on the market, it's going to sell very quickly. So that was the other thing I want to discuss with you, is make sure that you're super ready. You know, like when you put it on the market, if somebody walks in the next day and says, I'll offer you X, Y, Z, and you say, great, good. They say, how quickly can you move? That you're raring to go. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't got to sit down and think about it. You're ready.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm actually already working on that. I'm packing up everything that I don't need right now or use, and it's all going to be packed up and ready.
Wonderful. Well, I think everything's going to move quickly, and that must be why they kept showing me that one room at a time. And, you know, even in your mind, you've shut that door and we move on to the next part. But with your downsizing, I can see you also letting go of some treasures too.
I'm trying. It's been rough letting go of some things. I lost my son and my dad in 2022. Okay. So I have all of their things, and it's just I'm trying to pawn that stuff off on my other children.
right. Well, I'm sure what's meant to go to them will, and what's meant to go to another good home will. But look, you've still got your memories, and I can't begin to imagine what it's like to lose a son. I mean, that must have been a terrible shock, and it's something I don't think you'll ever really come to terms with. You'll find a way to move on, but I can't imagine you'd ever really get over the sadness. And I'm sorry to hear that, Carla.
Thank you. Because no, you don't. But you have to move through. You have no choice.
Yeah, of course. And you've still got your wonderful memories and the remaining and part of the family that, you know, you can still be happy and sad all at the same time.
I feel him with me all the time.
Well, that's wonderful. That's good, because I know he is with you all the time, and he's going to help you pack some of those boxes. You're going to say, oh, Mum, throw that out. Don't need that anymore. So that's good. That's where we're going to leave it, Carla. I wish you great success with your new opportunities that are coming up. We're going to speak now with Tammy in Hemet in California. Are you there, Tammy?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question for me, please, Tammy?
Yes, what do you see for me? Do you see me meeting any soulmate? And what do you see for me financially?
Okay. All right, Tammy, just to be very clear, people always say, I want to meet my soulmate, and I cringe because to me, a soulmate is hard work. What you're looking for is the other half of you, your soul connection, your soul partner. Soulmates are always usually karmic and usually a lot of difficult lessons to learn. So we don't want a soulmate. We want a soul partner. We want somebody that makes you sing through the day, somebody that you can really relate to and, you know, have a great connection with. I am seeing two people coming in towards you, and the first one I'm going to say, Tammy, is somebody from your past, and I'm going to go way, way, way back, not just a couple of years. I'm going to go maybe 20 years ago, somebody that there was a bit of a twinkle in your eye and a twinkle in his eye, and there wasn't the opportunity at the time for the two of you to explore it. I'm going to say I want to leave that in the past, you know, like if it didn't happen, then maybe it wasn't meant to happen at all. It's nice that, you know, somebody comes back into your past through social media or through friends or something like that. But I just want to use that as a marker in time that when that happens, as much as it's nice and, yes, we talk about the good old days, let's just leave them as that. You know, it doesn't mean you can't be friends, but let's not spark some sort of great love interest because it wouldn't work and it's not meant to work. Now, right behind that is the gentleman that I really do like, who's got brown hair. His eyebrows are a little bit bushy. It's like I want to get a pair of scissors and trim them. But, you know, that adds to his character. He's got a lovely smile. But that'll be the first thing that you sort of notice. You sort of think, oh, my God, those eyebrows need a trim. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, sometimes you meet somebody and you something like that stands out at you and you sort of think, oh, how can they go out looking like that? But anyway, I don't think he notices it. He's got a rounded sort of face. He's got a lovely smile. He's a very, very kind, generous sort of man. And I think throughout his life, I think a lot of people have taken advantage of him. And, you know, he keeps saying, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Oh, well, you know, like they really needed a hand or whatever. He's just got this lovely giving sort of soul. And he makes you laugh. And I think that's really important, Tammy. You haven't had a lot of laughter of late in your life. And to have somebody that can bring a smile to your face, that can make you laugh and giggle like a schoolgirl again, I don't think is a bad thing. But he's certainly not short of money. He's well-mannered. He gets on well with everybody. But he's very protective of you. Now, when I say protective, I don't mean that he's possessive. I mean protective. If you were in a room full of people and somebody started swearing, you'd say, come on, Dales, let's go. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't believe that that's appropriate. Uh-huh. You know the words, but, you know, you don't need to listen to it. That's what I mean by protective. He's a really, really, really nice man. Now, the second part of your question was about finances. Now, I'm going to say, I'd love to say and wave the magic wand and say everything was going to be great from today onwards, but I still think between now and the end of the year, it's a little bit of a push-pull situation with finances. You start to get a little bit of a run-on and then all of a sudden somebody yanks that elastic band and pulls you back to almost where you were, or that's how it feels. So just ride the rest of this year out and know that 2027, once we get to about February, March, April, things after that become a lot easier financially. I'm not saying you won't make progress. I'm just saying it's like three steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, one step back. You know, you don't feel like you've got the momentum happening. There's nothing you're doing wrong. It's just one of those very expensive times where you can't predict everything that's going to happen. That's been the main thing. But, Tammy, look, just open your heart up, be ready for love and be ready to laugh again. This man really does make you laugh. And they keep showing me the colour orange. Now, I don't know whether that's you're meant to wear it or whether it's his favourite colour, but they just kept showing me this piece of orange fabric and I don't know how to tie that in. So I'll leave that with you, Tammy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Tammy, I hope that's helped. That's where we've got to leave it. We've come to the end of the show again.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome, Tammy. It's always lovely to connect with people around the world with their different changes and things that are going on in their lives and things that they want to bring into their lives. And if you're a regular viewer of the show, you'll know that I always mention a song of the week. And, you know, for many varied reasons, how I pick the song, you know, it can be something that's gone through my head or something I've seen or just something that jumps out at me as I go through the song list before the show. And I always find the song that I gravitate towards fits the theme of the show. It's sort of something, you know, spirit works in very mysterious ways, and I just go with, and it's not always a particularly favourite song of mine, but this one is, that the song always fits the readings that we've done on the show. And this week I want to leave you with one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever thought that was ever written. And from the very, very, very first time I heard this song and I didn't know the artist, I knew it was going to be a big hit, and I knew it was going to be one of those songs that we would listen to through the ages, and we have done. It's been around for close on 40 odd years now, and it's the late great Whitney Houston with The Greatest Love of All. And I really do believe the words in that song are just absolutely amazing, and she did a beautiful job of that song, and it's one of those songs that will go down in history as one of the greatest songs ever written. And she was one of the greatest artists, and it's such a tragedy that we lost her so young. So I'll leave you with Whitney Houston and The Greatest Love of All. Until next week, bye for now.